Good News Station.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Zohar Tsarnaev said he was sorry. The Boston Marathon bomber addressed victims and families today in court and apologized. Then he praised Allah. The victims also spoke. One woman said Tsarnaev did not succeed in his mission.
Rebecca Gregory, who lost one of her legs in the bombing, told Tsarnaev, "I am not your victim and I am not your brother's victim." She said that the attack had only made Boston and America unite.
That was AP correspondent Denise Lavoie. Also today, the judge formally sentenced Tsarnaev to death. Police in New York now believe David Sweat and Richard Matt are armed. A few days ago, the escaped killers were spotted in a cabin in the woods, and police say most cabin owners in that area have weapons, but authorities remain confident they will be captured.
Whether it ends here today in Owl's Head or whether it's an indeterminate amount of time going forward, we will resolve this case.
That was Major Charles Guess from the New York State Police. This is USA Headline News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush took a break on the campaign trail to express his feelings about those 9 people killed during a Bible study meeting at a church in Charleston, South Carolina. Mr. Bush, who is seeking the GOP presidential nomination for the White House, said it is a time to come together.
In times like these, in times of great national mourning, people of faith, all of us must come together.
Jeb Bush spoke about the shootings in Charleston, South Carolina.
We know that a house of God is a house of peace and brotherhood, and the violence that took place in that church just breaks our heart.
As Jeb Bush was speaking in Washington, city leaders from Charleston gathered together at a prayer rally calling for unity, with Elliot Summey, chairman of the city council, saying Charleston must now serve as a lighthouse. Charleston Mayor Joseph Raleigh said if the gunman wanted to racially divide the nation, he was a miserable failure. For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clement.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Season's playoffs. The Patriots are, of course, vitally interested in the outcome of the case, and time is getting to be an issue. Training camp starts in 5 weeks. Warren Levinson, New York.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is defending the timing of today's ceremony to sign 2 bills that loosen the state's gun laws. He says it was scheduled before last week's church shootings in South Carolina. He also says pulling back on the ceremony would have given people what he calls the erroneous opinion that the measures had anything to do with what happened in Charleston. One bill eliminates the state's 48-hour waiting period for handgun purchases. The other allows retired officers to carry guns on school property. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal will launch his presidential campaign later today. 44-year-old will deliver a speech in the New Orleans suburb of Kenner, where he lived as a congressman. He won election to Congress at age 82 and became governor 4 years later. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. The following program was pre-recorded at an earlier time.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Hey, I remember that name. Sometimes, in fact, you know, Pastor Tom, you might remember this. When we were kids, How old before you knew what your real name was?
Probably 12.
That's right. See, my name was Knucklehead, and I never...
They called me Hey You.
Hey You.
Boombots.
We didn't know what our real name was for the longest
hey
time.
Hey You.
Hey You, right?
And the other name was Switch the Channel.
Switch the Channel? I had another name. Go out and cut the switch and bring it back.
Well, for the longest time, I was somebody. Somebody. Will somebody please do somebody. This and do that?
Somebody take this kid and get rid of him.
And hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. This is a call-in show, and we're here to help. Now, we will have some fun because that's just what we do. Because I can't, you know, with Pastor Tom here, I got to pick on him a little. Otherwise, you know, it wasn't me. I got Vince Rosino, CPA, forensic CPA, lots of credentials. Used to be a college professor.
But not at Columbia.
And then Joe Martech's a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker. Also have a securities principal licenses. Like, you care about this stuff. I've got tons of licenses and tons of continuing education courses that we take. Pastor Tom? If you're a practicing pastor, do you have to take continuing education courses?
One should.
No, I like that.
That was good. A total avoidance. Well, I like that.
I like it. That's pretty good. So what happened is 10 or 12 years ago, we started doing these shows, and it was very simple. I'm a financial advisor with lots of clients, basically here and in 13 other states, and they would ask me questions, like tax questions. Like, they say, Joe, you got to answer this tax question for me. And I'll say, well, here's the first thing. All I know is that you got to pay. And then they say, well, can't you help me? And I said, yep, I'm going to send you to somebody. Okay, then biggest problem I had is I got to find somebody that I trust. This is not the easiest thing to do. So literally, if you're a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals over a period of time, because there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything, except wives, of course. We know that part.
Now you're going into dangerous territory.
I know, but luckily, you know, Joanne's not listening today, right?
I don't know.
Hopefully
she might
not.
Be.
She might. She'll get even with me if she is. That's Vinny's
she'll
wife,
be cutting
by the
you
way.
Right
just,
off.
Just, I know. I mean, my knees are hurting already.
Almost scotch.
Anyway, the key thing was finding other credible professionals that you can refer to. So when we started putting the group together, the first two people I had was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Critical word is independent, because if you work for one insurance company, quote, you work for one insurance company. But if you're an independent insurance agent, you work for the client, and you might have 20, 30, 40, 50. Dan has a little over 80 companies totally underneath his umbrella.
So tell them what all that means, Joe.
Well, it simply means this. Let's say your homeowner's insurance company doubles your rate. Well, you're not happy. But if you work for a captive agency, your captive agent says, oh, I'm in trouble, you're going to be mad at me, but I have nothing I can do about it. But if you're working for an independent agent, before, like this happened to me this last year on my automobile renewal, a lady in Dan's office called me up and said, Joe, did you get your renewal? And I said, no. She says, well, you probably will tomorrow, but if you want, we have another company and we're going to lower your price by $400. I said, gee, let me think about this for long and hard, lowering my price by $400. Boy, that took me, I think, 8 seconds to say, that was it. So what Dan's office does, basically with the power of the computer, he's got the ability, in case one company falls out of grace, he can move you to another one. That was a big deal for me. And then to find what I consider somebody with high integrity, was right up there on top. And Dan's only been in business 35 years right here. We all know Dan is one of the better people we'll ever know. Greg Fasula, attorney, who I pick on unmercifully because he's the only Democrat in the group. And doesn't mean we don't like Democrats, folks. Don't take that personally. But one thing I never do is pick on anybody except Democrats and Pastor Tom. Ooh. I have exceptions. You see, I got it. You can't. I said never is a categorical statement. So I have to have exceptions. Is that fair, Tom?
I don't know.
I don't know. He's being very careful today. He's very careful. I'm waking him up. He's coming too. Greg Fasula happens to be the only attorney in the world that I personally know that is patient, a good listener, not arrogant, not pretentious.
Very nice fellow.
He's just a flat good guy. Probably the only guy I'd like to have as a next door neighbor, even if he was a Democrat, you know, because he's just a flat good person. He helps people. I tell you what, Greg really is a good guy. So over a period of years, one of the first things I ask a brand new prospect or suspect is, are you ready to die? Well, we have two answers. You know, one, let's just go, are you ready to meet God? We'll take that as a second phase. But the first phase is, meaning, do you have your will or your trust? Meaning, have you done your estate planning? Well, with Greg, I've got a person that is user-friendly, and that's been a very important thing to me. So then, Vince Rizzino, CPA. Well, I had to have a CPA that had credibility, integrity, experience, and that used to be a college professor, even though it wasn't at Columbia.
But not at Columbia.
And somebody that if I ever sent a client to him, which is, I bet you I call Vince usually once a week, sometimes twice a week, because it's invariably something comes up that you think you, after X number of years, you'd know a whole bunch of stuff, but invariably something comes up you don't know. And that's important. Then the other members of the team, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. Well, real estate, buying or selling, what happens? Everybody in the world, at one time or another, it seems like they do one or the other, buy or sell or both. And to find somebody that you can trust, and that's it. I mean, this girl is just, you can't make her lie. She's just the most honest person I've ever known. And I've only known her since 1980, that's a couple years. And she's just flat good. And then Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Mike has helped more people, I think, than the rest of us cumulatively, because the mortgage business has been crazy since the recession hit. And what he's been able to do is just help lots and lots of people. And it makes it, the whole concept of the group is to help people, very simply. No one person is more important than another, and no one person is going to be the end all for any of us. So the name of the game is either here to help you with your money, or with your real estate, or with your taxes, or with your mortgages, or with insurance. That's how we put the thing together. So today we have Pastor Tom sitting here giving me a funny look, which I'm used to. And then Vince Rizzino, CPA, sitting here.
Also giving you a funny
also
look.
Giving me funny.
We're waiting to see what you do, Joe.
I know. You know, what I had some friends of mine say, hey, Joe, does Pastor Tom have a 5-second delay? I said, no, what's he do then? I said, he's got a club.
He's got a 10-second delay. You ask him a question.
Knocks him off the chair.
Takes you 10 seconds to think the answer.
Think the answer. There you go.
He said, we're going to have a break now. Joe's on the ground, but I'll get him up by time.
Today's program was recorded at an earlier time. If you'd like to know more about today's subjects, you can contact Joe Martek at 772-229-0114.
Let's say IRAs, Roth IRAs, 401ks,
Social Security,
457 plans, 403b plans,
taxes,
health insurance.
Oh, don't talk about health insurance.
This is not a pretty subject these days. But
no, it's cost people a lot of money. Well, not relatively speaking, but they're penalized.
I just paid the penalty.
You did pay the penalty.
Well, $490.
Wow. See. Yeah. So this is real.
It was more in the pocketbook. My understanding was that the penalty would be like $90 per person.
What have I been preaching to you for the last
$90
2 months?
Or 1%
of your adjusted income.
And that's on the adjusted
income. It's the way they adjust it.
That's right. It's not adjusted gross.
It's not like the real adjusted.
It's not the real adjusted.
And so I ended up paying $490 in addition to my taxes.
Of course.
It's an add-on. It's an additional tax.
But it was on the tax form as a tax. It's
that's
not
right.
a penalty.
That's
of course,
right.
It's a tax.
Well that's because of the Supreme Court said it was, a tax, and that's how they were able to get the IRS get
so is
to monitor it.
Was Roberts a Democrat?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. And he's the one that made it a tax.
Well, I think they had something on him.
Hey, let me talk about another subject before we talk.
Before we talk, don't you love that?
Anyway, I'm down to see a client of mine in Jupiter last week or a week before. You know, this one nice thing about getting old is your memory kind of clouds. Days kind of blur. You ever notice that, Tom?
Mm. No, he doesn't sometimes. Notice it because he's still a young man.
Wait a minute. Let me think about it for a while.
Right, Pastor? He's the old one in the group.
Here's this client of mine. He's in his 80s, and he says, coughing nonstop. Coughing. And, I mean, bringing up lots of stuff. Coughing. He said, you know, I had the flu or a cold a few months ago, but Joe, I can't get over this cough. Now, would you believe this? Yes, you would, because I'm going to tell you.
If you tell me, I'll believe it. Not really.
The day before I went to see him, I read the newspaper, and in the newspaper, they have what's called People's Pharmacy. You ever hear of them?
Mm-hmm.
What it is a husband and wife. She's a doctor, and he's a pharmacist, or vice versa. I forget which. And they had this article, which I'm going to read.
Wow. Wonderful.
And you thought I couldn't read.
Read that.
Is this about medicine?
No, yes. My husband has been taking lisinopril for years now to control hypertension. He associated his persistent, nonstop coughing with this drug until today. He passed out a number of times today from the cough. One time when he lost consciousness from coughing nonstop, he hit his head and put a hole in the wall. I think this is what upset his wife, you know. I was very worried. Quote, I Googled passing out from coughing. Don't you love Google?
You can find out things you never even thought you could.
I Googled passing out from coughing and found your website, meaning People's Pharmacy. What an eye-opener. He is going to stop taking lisinopril and will try to maintain his blood pressure in alternative ways. Now, answer. No one should ever stop taking medication without first checking with a prescriber. That said, we're alternative way that no one warned your husband that lisinopril and similar ACE inhibitor drugs, benazepril, I'm not pronouncing this right, enalapril, ramapril, etc., commonly trigger an uncontrollable cough. We have heard from many people who have, anyway, I'm not going to read the rest of it. But
not only uncontrollable coughs. Sudden moments of just passing right out.
Yeah, he hit the wall.
No, I didn't hit the wall. I hit a pole and totaled a car.
See? Now,
Same drug.
Why didn't you call me before you did that?
Well, why didn't you let me know about this article before I ran my car into a pole?
When did that come out? This was just last week.
See, well, you know, I showed you the pictures where I totaled the car.
Well, I didn't know.
A couple of years back.
I just thought you were kind of goofy.
No, it's been almost 5 years ago.
See? So what happened is, here's something. You know, Lord save me, but doctors just aggravate me to no end. They really do. Because, you know, in today's medicine, they really can spend very little time if they're going to make a buck and keep their practice alive. It's a different world today. But the fact that these side effects are so many with every drug.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens very often, people go to their pharmacist. If they happen to have a good pharmacist, they'll tell them, hey, do you know about the side effects? Well, not every pharmacist has time to do that either. So here was my client coughing, and then lisinopril. So, folks, if you know anybody that is taking blood pressure medication, just hey, this is a subject to bring up with your doctor.
That's right. It's a serious matter.
Because
I was on a beta blocker for many years.
Okay.
My doctor retired. I went to a new doctor, and he gave me lisinopril.
Right.
He told me you're going to get a cough. You know, when I got to the pharmacist, it had on the little package, it told me the side effects. I took it for about almost 2 months, and I was feeling terrible. And I called the doctor and said, hey, I said, I don't feel too good, and I got this cough. I just feel out of phase. I can't explain it. I just don't feel right. Well, you're going to come see us in 2 weeks. Just keep taking it. And come see us in 2 weeks. We'll talk about it. The next day, I was over at Staples here in Stewart. I went in and bought a ream of copy paper, came out, put it in the back of the car, and the next thing I remember, I'm talking OnStar. because in the parking lot of Staples,
you found a pole.
The pole jumped right out in front of my car, and I totaled the car. Oh, I mean, I hit that pole so hard, and it was all because that drug that I was taking caused me to pass out, totally lost consciousness, and so I called the doctor. I said I totaled the car. He says, "Come in right away, but don't drive." I said, "No kidding.
No, I don't have a car anymore. How can I drive?"
And so I went over. He immediately took me off of that drug and put me back on the beta blocker, and I have had no problem since.
All it amounts
to. But it's dangerous, and people need to know about
that. Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I literally, it was just coincidence. One day after I got this in the paper, I'm there, and here he is coughing, and, you know.
Is that what he was on?
He was on that stuff?
And literally, so I had him go get all his drugs. You know, there are lots of them, and he brings them all out, and wouldn't you know it, it was Lisinopril.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, just that one. Anyway, the whole thing we try to do on this is impart whatever we can to help people. And if you have a loved one or a friend or yourself.
We need to give a second side of that. Yeah, well, at least to be fair. There are some people that I've talked to, they're on that drug, they do fine with it. You know, they've got no problem.
It says that. But key is this. You know, every drug has side effects, every drug. So does it affect everybody? No. Does it affect different people different ways? Yes. You know, Pastor Tom found a pole, you know, and it wasn't,
but if you're on a drug and you don't feel right, go see a doctor.
Yep. Anyway, I just thought I needed to bring that out just to, you know, share things that do happen occasionally that can help people or might help people.
And protect them. Kind of tie it in, Joe. That's why you need to take a look at all your policies, also your insurance policies, your health insurance, your life insurance, because you never know.
Well, you know, here's
your car insurance.
The car insurance.
When I ask people if they're ready to die, I don't say, "Are you taking Lisinopril first?" You know.
Maybe you should. I say, should be right on the top.
Listen,
of your
before
list.
We start taking all these drugs, you need to get your affairs in order. Let me work on this stuff.
You say, if I'm going to take these risky drugs,
but if you're driving, I want to know: are you on Lisinopril?
Yeah, right.
Today's program was recorded at an earlier time. If you'd like to know more about today's subjects, you can contact Joe Martek at 772-229-0114.
I ran into another one this week on Social Security.
Oh.
Now, here was one that I didn't have a good answer to, but I did raise a question. The wife just turned 62.
Okay.
Husband is going to be 62 in 6 months. He owns a company. They're making lots of money. They don't need the Social Security, but she just felt tough. I'm going to take it anyway. And I said, they asked me a question, said, what if we filed jointly? Is this going to affect that Social Security income?
No.
Okay, I didn't know the answer, so I'm asking.
It'll affect the taxability of it once they get it.
Well,
but no, the eligibility?
Forget the eligibility. So now she's collecting her $1,000 a month, but if you make more than $15,000 a year.
That's correct.
You got to give back.
There is a window between age 62
and 66.
And the normal retirement age, whatever that is.
Which is now 66.
It could be 67. Depends.
By the time you turn around, yeah.
Yeah. So. Yes, there's a prohibition against that. You get a limit to what you can earn.
It's 15.5 or something.
15,000 and change.
Something. Yes. So anyway, let's say that he's making 100,000 a year and she's making no salary anymore, but they filed jointly. Wouldn't she be stuck with giving back? No.
The income relates to the person collecting the Social Security.
Well, good. They'll be happy to do that, because I said, look, the first thing you have to do is call Social Security when you get back. I said, secondly, I think you're crazy for taking it, but I think she's crazy to be taking it. I said, you need to find out of what spousal benefits. You need to find all the information.
She may not be, you know, well, there's so many facets to this, Joe. One thing is whether you really need it or not.
Yeah.
Because to take it early, there's about a 25% discount off of your normal retirement benefit.
Well, you know what it is? A lot of people, when you turn 62, say, wait a minute. If I wait 4 more years to start taking it, I might die the day after I start taking it. Then I would have lost all that money. And her thing was, I've been paying into this thing since I've been a kid. I just want to start getting it back, which I understand that mentality. But what I was concerned about with her and him was, in the long run, if they don't die, they're going to give away a great portion of the benefit.
Well, Joe, the rule of thumb here is, I think once they reach age 78, that's the crossover point. In other words, if you take it early and you live to 78.
78?
Yeah. then you'll start to lose money, because then at that point it crosses over, and had you not taken it earlier, you'd be getting a
bigger
benefit.
You'd
be getting more.
So the key is, are you going to live to be 78? Question.
That's your question.
That's the plan.
This is not a pretty picture.
Now, if you didn't plan on living to 78, then I'd say take it early. Take it as often as you can.
Anyway, I just thought it was just a different wrinkle that I had never been asked before about filing jointly. So it only affects her as long as she's not working.
Each one is collecting their own benefit, and the earnings relate to that particular benefit to that person.
So as long as
what about people that are taking disability? Does that
the same thing?
Does that affect their
You're talking about Social Security disability?
Yeah.
Social Security disability, in the end, if you look at it, is nothing more than an advance payment on your Social Security benefit due to a disability. So they give you your advance on your retirement.
But if you file jointly with somebody that's not on.
But that's not his question. His question is, well, how does that apply? Disability, you don't have to worry about that, because I think you only can make, I want to say, at most $750 a month. You're limited.
On disability?
On disability, yeah. Otherwise, you're going to lose your benefit.
You're
allowed to make some money on disability, but there's a limitation on it. You can't just go out and get a job making $20,000 a year.
But if they file for disability, let's say somebody's 55 years old and they file for disability and they get it, does that affect their, when they reach retirement age?
Oh, sure.
Do they have to refile, or do they just continue on?
No. What's going to happen with that is, once they get to be normal retirement age, you'll get a letter, and effectively you'll be coming off of the Social Security disability and be taking your own.
They'll be on retirement.
But
it would be as though you had taken early retirement.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
It's actually real early, because if somebody in their 50s took disability, then they're taking it really early.
Are they going to get a lesser amount than at 66?
Lesser? No, I don't think so. Potentially, they could get more depending on the spouse, because they're still entitled to, and depending on how early you took that benefit. The earlier you took the disability,
so
it'd
be a case by case.
It has to be case by case, because sometimes if you've taken it early, like they say, you're in your 40s when you start taking it. If you're in your 40s and you're taking it, and then by the time you get to be 65 or 66, your husband, or say the wife, was working all that time and got a maximum benefit, you're entitled to half. So the half of the spouse might be more than what you're getting on the disability. So you got to be careful with that.
Well, what if you worked 40 quarters? That's 10 years.
It's more than the 40 quarters, Joe.
Huh?
That's more than the 40 quarters to be. That's to be eligible to get any benefit.
To get eligible for Social Security.
Right.
40 quarters. Disability, I'm talking about. You have to work 40 quarters, which is 10 years.
That's correct. Right? But the benefit itself is calculated very, very complex. Let's put it that way. It's a complex
calculation. But let's just say you work the 10 years. And then all of a sudden you got disabled for whatever reason. And that 40, those 10 years that qualified you for, let's say, $1,000 a month Social Security benefit, and you were getting $800 for disability.
Right.
Would you now be back up to the $1,000
a
month?
No. Once you start on the disability, you're stuck, or you should say you're at that level until you hit your normal retirement age.
That's what I'm asking.
And even at that, you don't go automatically up. I think it stays.
There's a formula.
And another thing that's important for people to know is, if you work 10 years or more and leave the workforce, and you're out of the workforce for a number of years, and you try to file for disability, if you don't file for disability within a certain period of time that you're in the workforce, you don't get any disability.
That's true.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the reason
someone was asked by the Social Security, said, why did you wait so long to file? Well, I didn't know I was eligible. Well, you waited too long.
Right.
Ignorance doesn't work.
Yeah, the ignorance of the law is no excuse, as they say.
Right. Especially if it's the infernal.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, when you think about it, what's the odds of that happening? Somebody's disabled and they don't go and they don't know what their benefits are. That's probably a very slim situation. I would say the odds are.
But let me give you another situation, which leads me into the same conversation. So I've had this happen two times with existing clients of mine. One was a young woman who had multiple problems. And she qualified for full disability, so she was getting SSI or whatever they call it. But then she had a car accident, and she was awarded $50,000 settlement. If she took the $50,000, they would take away her disability income because she no longer qualified because she had money. So that money had to be put into a special needs trust managed by another person, and that money could not be used for food, shelter, clothing, utilities, for those four things. I said, well, what can it be used for? Fund. But you can't use it for food, shelter, clothing, utilities. That's what the disability income is supposed to pay for.
Can be used for medical expenses?
No. No, because that's already covered. You're picking up Medicaid or Medicare under if you're fully disabled, even if you're underage.
So it's party money, nothing else.
That's it. So I said, well, you're going to have to take some trips.
I guess so.
Well, it's kind of a stupid
rule. It is a stupid rule.
But, so then what happens is the trustee now, whoever is managing the money, also has some liability. Because when that person dies, if that money is not all gone, it has to go to the state. That whatever's left goes to pay back part of that disability income.
Interesting. Interesting. I didn't know that part.
Interesting. Yeah. This has happened to me two times. So, you know, these are things, I don't know how you ever learn this stuff, because I don't think there's a course
in
any of
it. You know what? You learn that through somebody else's misfortune, you know, somebody else who had to pay it back. That's how you learn it.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I think, you know, we know a lot about tax law. We're CPAs. Right. We do. But I took a whole day course on Social Security. Let me tell you something. That law is so complex. It's some more difficult than some of the IRS code.
It's hard to imagine.
It's just unbelievable how complicated they've made this thing.
And one of the things that I've heard you guys say is if you have a question, you know, call the Social Security people, make an appointment, go in and talk to them.
Right.
But I was talking to a person here recently, and they said they made that appointment. They went in, and if you don't ask them a specific question,
you have to know the questions.
Yeah. They're not going to give you an answer because they're not allowed, I guess, by law,
to advise you
nope. about the points of the law.
Well,
that's right.
I have gone with some of my clients, and because I know the questions to ask. It's like this happens to me quite often. I'll go see somebody. In fact, one of them, Pastor Tom, knows you extremely well, and they had this particular contract, and they had me look at it and get my opinion. And I said, well, you're not going to like my opinion, so I'm not going to give it to you. But what we're going to do, we're going to call the company directly. And I'm going to put you on the phone, and then you and I are going to talk on the phone. I'll be on one extension, you on another, and I'm going to give you the questions to ask. And when we're done, I want you to get a bucket ready because you're going to want to throw up when you find out what they did to your money. And this particular product, and you know who I'm talking about, was probably the worst I have ever seen in my entire life. And he is still working through the legal system because you know what happens? Once people go past their cancellation date and they try to go back to the company for misrepresentation or whatever it is, it's very, very difficult. Very difficult. Mm-hmm. But it's so sad when I see people taken advantage of, lied to, misrepresented. You know, these are all big, you know, lied is my easy word for all this stuff that they try to flower over with.
Well, there's a lot of misrepresentation from the government and insurance agencies and things, because as they can keep you in the dark, then they don't have to pay.
Well, there you go. So what happened was this particular contract was abysmal. It's probably the worst thing I've ever seen. And when I started looking at it, that's why I didn't want to talk to them at all about myself, because I'm very biased, obviously, because I know it's no good, but I'm also a competitor. So I needed them to hear it from the horse's mouth. And if they call the company directly, not the agent, the company, the company has no vested interest whether you keep it or not, because this is a salaried person working in there, and they're just going to tell you the facts. And the facts were abysmal, that they really, really had a terrible, terrible product. So here was $150,000 that was never going to do anything that they thought it was going to do, which is very sad. And that was, it's been a while ago, and he was high enough up in a certain organization, he figured he'd get some decent attorneys that are working on this thing, and it may be, but the odds are pretty good that nothing will happen.
Well, you know what they say about fighting City Hall. Fighting the federal government's even worse.
Well, if you're when these things are set in concrete, because they have rules. One of the rules might be you have 10 days to cancel or 30 days to cancel, you know. And if you don't within that period of time, every day over that, it makes you look worse. So if you come back a year later or 2 years later, which is what happened with this particular case, they almost have no chance of getting restitution. Almost, I say. Now, there's always something that can happen. But the key thing...
Well, if one can prove that they were...
misrepped?
Malicious in their representation.
Here comes the problem. Know. It's always going to be your word against mine. I mean, there comes as two people. And now comes memory. If something you did 2 years ago and you've done it one time in your entire life, and you only listened for 1/2 hour to come to that conclusion, remembering all that stuff is really difficult, really difficult. When you're in the business and you do it every single day, your memory is pretty good. So I see people that are taken advantage of because they did not understand at all what they got. They trusted the person that was doing it, and it's very disconcerting. One of the things that I suggest to anybody when in doubt that they've got a piece of paper in front of them from whoever it is, you call the company directly. Don't talk to the agent. Call the company directly and ask the questions. If you don't know the questions, you call me. I'll give you the questions to ask and write them down. Because it does make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. It can save you a lot of time, aggravation, and
time,
money.
Aggravating money. I mean, it's everybody wants to deal with somebody that's honest, that has integrity. But, you know, hey, we all know that's not life.
Are you suggesting that some of those agents may not be as forthright as they could be?
Was that a suggestion?
No, just a question.
A little hint.
The hint? It's an observation?
Today's program was recorded at an earlier time. If you have any questions about today's program, you can contact Joe Martek at 772-229-0114.
So we covered a little broad spectrum here, from Social Security to people not doing exactly the right thing for people, and some taxes.
We talked about the health care penalty, which is called they call it a penalty, but it really is a tax.
Yeah.
And it's not just $95.
And no, it's not.
It could be $95, but then it depends on your income.
Or it's $95 or 1%, whichever is higher. Greater.
And what I like about it.
And next year, it's going up. But this is what I didn't understand. At the end of filing my taxes and paying this penalty and stuff, it says your expected penalty for next year is zero. And I'm thinking, well,
how did they come to that conclusion?
I need to ask the right questions.
Yes, you do.
Well, you know why they expect it to be zero? They expect you to donate that couple $1,000 a month for Obamacare, you know, whatever it is.
They expect you to purchase the insurance.
Of course.
That's correct.
And once you
they can't make that assumption.
Well, that's what they were doing, I guess.
But you know, my doctor asked me the other day, he said, when are you going to get health insurance? I said, when you give me a pill for that.
That's not a bad answer.
You know, well, I don't want to get into it, but.
Let me give you my soapbox. And then you know how I feel about this. First of all, let me tell you, I'm unbelievably impressed that Obama actually got this thing implemented, because every other president has tried to get a health care program. Now
that's impressive.
He got it through, got it into the system. I mean, it's no good, in my opinion, it's no good. It might work really well for a very few people that don't have to pay anything because it's government subsidized.
Because lot of people get a subsidy.
Yeah.
And if I called my boss and said, would you cut my pay by a few
thousand
a year,
you might get a subsidy.
Then I could get a subsidy,
but you got
$830 a month.
Yeah.
Then I could pay $116 or $160.
But you would call, or no?
But you wouldn't have enough food to eat, enough money to buy food.
That's right. I think you got a call coming.
You think we got a call coming?
I think so. I think that's just turned down.
It's just low.
Yeah.
Push the green button
there.
All right, pushing the green button. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Very good. Thank you.
Wonderful. I have a question. I try to listen to you guys on Wednesday afternoons on my way home from work. And you were talking about Social Security disability,
right,
as it relates to tax returns. And my husband got ill in December of 2013, and it's been quite a road back. And he was forced into retirement. He worked for the county. And he was awarded Social Security disability, not the Medicare kind, the other kind.
Okay.
And so I didn't think that it was taxable, because I had read and heard that disability benefits were not taxable. But, no. It actually is.
Right.
It actually is. And a lot of it depended on my income somehow. Yep. So
you're filing jointly, married filing jointly, right?
Correct. And so when the tax lady did our taxes this year, I didn't really provide for it, because when those benefits are awarded to you which is a whole process in itself. Nobody asks you if you want a tax to be taken out. Nobody says anything to you.
And, you're absolutely right, caller.
Yeah.
That's right. They don't ask you that.
I just wanted to kind of confirm with you that the tax lady was giving me the right information, that those tax, that income he receives is taxable to some degree depending on how much money I make.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. Your tax preparer was correct that if Social Security was your only income, you wouldn't even be filing a tax return. But once you file a joint return, then the amount of taxability of those benefits depends on the income that's being reported on your joint return.
But here's the question, Vince. What if they filed married filing separate?
It doesn't matter, Joe, because then the formula gives you half of the...
You're stuck is what you're saying, no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess your only hope is to divorce him.
Although if he has no income...
No, we didn't go through all that to get divorced.
But I had
one more question if I could ask you.
Go ahead.
When you were talking about the woman that had a lot of problems and she was on SSI and she got awarded a big settlement for her accident.
Right.
That wouldn't apply to us. I mean, not that I see anything like that coming my way, of course. But,
right.
I mean, that wouldn't apply to us, right? Because we have the, I don't know how you decipher it or the correct term for it, but he's on Social Security disability, period. It doesn't have anything to do that the government didn't have to give him a benefit through Medicaid or anything like that.
You understand.
Would that apply to him as well?
There are different flavors. And I'm not an expert on this. It's a very difficult thing. Once you are designated by Social Security as either SSI, Social Security Disability, there's two or three different categories. One,
right.
One says, hey, we're giving you this money so that you can eat and pay your rent and pay your phone and pay that stuff, but none of this money is for anything except that. And then if all of a sudden you inherit money or you are given money by an accident or something, that could disqualify you for getting that disability income. So the question is this. Obviously, when you have, your husband was awarded X and whatever system it was, and you're still working and filing jointly, this does not adversely affect him. Otherwise, your tax preparer should have told you and would have told you.
Right. Yeah, well, he would have been eligible for Social Security anyway at 62,
which
he's turning. It's just that he got the disability because he's disabled.
Of course.
So, but it's not the Medicare kind. I don't want to sound ignorant, but it's the kind you actually earn. I mean, he's been working since he's like 2 years old.
Of course.
So, and he's been paying in since he's like 3.
Understand.
So, you know, it's something that he's been paying on all the time. It's not the kind of a thing where the government had to step in like welfare or Medicaid or anything and give them. So,
you know,
anyway, you answered my question.
I think your husband and I had the same father because he put him to work when he was 2 years old. It sounds like my dad.
I know. And I've been working since I'm one.
Holy, so, hey, listen, yeah. That was my father-in-law, but that's okay.
Well, anyway, it was so nice to talk to you guys. I listen to you when I can. Like I said, you're very informative, and I thank you for answering my question.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you again.
Now, I know you were joking about the divorce thing here a minute ago, but, you know, someone who's filing separately on their returns, let's say if you're married, filing jointly, and you apply for the Affordable Care Act, you don't get anything. But what if an individual is filing, they're married, but they file separate return and they don't have any income, would they qualify for the Obamacare?
Hang on a second while you think about that.
I got to think of that question.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, this is Patty. I have one question and one thing to say, that if any of your callers have to call the healthcare.gov.
You're right.
Right.
I had to
never
call it.
Refer to it as Obamacare. They get a little testy about that. I mean, that is me. So that's that. My real question, however, is I have a simple IRA, and I haven't contributed to it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I wanted to find out, can I contribute to that individually, like outside of, because it was set up through a previous job.
Are you self-employed now? Are you self-employed?
No, I'm not. Then, I was self-employed then, but not now.
Then you cannot.
If you
can have a traditional IRA, uh-huh. right? Which is not a simple one. The simple one is really for self-employed people without employees. I mean, I'm simplifying the answer. Vince, is this?
You're basically right, Joe. If you work for an employer, the amounts you can put away are less too. You're an employee,
right?
The employer can match you, can put money for you, but I think you're limited to $5,500 or $65 if you're
depends
over 50.
But
if you're self-employed, it's a different different calculation.
Let me ask you a question: does your employer have a 401k for you?
No, he has nothing. So I need to make an appointment with you that I can get this going and straightened out, because I've not been contributing, which is really bad.
Yeah. How about your husband, or do you have one?
No, I kind of lost him along the way.
I understand that. We don't need to go into details here. Pastor
No,
Tom.
We don't.
Here's what I'm going to do. You gave your name and number, I think, to Connie when you called in. What I'll do is I'll have my young lady give you a call, and we'll work out a time.
I'm going to call her because she's called me because I was supposed to set up an appointment, and then I decided to get my taxes done first.
Oh, okay.
But I can't wait for that anymore. So I'm going to go ahead and just, because I need to start something back up.
Okay.
So, all right. Okay.
Pat, sounds good. Thank you so much. And remember this, you know, next time marry a rich man.
Yeah, I gotta start hanging out in better places, I guess.
Hey, Patty.
Well, I'm supposed to have a blessed evening. So bye.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you.
One. She is the
Pastor Barry was in here today, and he said, you know, besides you, Joe, God has to have a sense of humor.
Yeah, that's so right.
He figured it wasn't just me. I have a client of mine that came from the radio station, and I said, I sure hope God has a sense of humor. He says, he has to, Joe, because look at you.
That's right. Well, now that we have marriage counselor Martek here.
Joe's multi-talented.
That's right.
He even answers tax questions. It's pretty good. I like that.
Well, you know, what happens? I have this CPA that I know that teaches me stuff.
Oh!
It's a scary thing.
It is scary.
But it's coincidental. We went into this simple IRA because just a month ago,
we had a similar situation.
We had a person that he had a traditional, a Roth, and a simple.
And we could do up to $15,000 self-employed. It's a whole different ballgame.
Different ballgame. But what happens if you have a...
Is there an advantage to having three as...
No.
Having one or what?
No, well, you're not eligible necessarily for three.
But what happened, he didn't do them all at the same time. He might have put in a traditional when he was working a real job, and he might have done the Roth when he was in between jobs or whatever. But the simple allowed him to put aside $15,000 a year as self-employed, not pay tax on it. Like you're only allowed $5,500 or $65 if you're older on a traditional. So there are... Each one, I mean, how many of these plans are there? There's like
Joe,
8 or 10 or 12?
So many these plans that I have to think about it when somebody asks me the question, because there's each one that has its unique rules. They all have the different rules.
There's 457s. There's all kinds of different plans.
There's 401ks.
They go on and on.
403Bs, 457s.
Did you remember the question he was asking you?
No.
No, good.
You got a caller.
Yeah, get the caller first.
You're dealing with old people here, and they forgot the question we had from the last question.
Yeah, how are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. My name is Joseph. I'm 28 years old, live in Florida. I just had a question in a future marriage. What do you think the most intelligent, but also, you know, Christ-like God, what would be the smartest way to start investing? Yeah, you know, I've been investing slowly. I was going to do 401k and Accenture and all that stuff. My job actually matches 4% right now, which is, you know, excellent, gross. But I'm talking like not just mutual funds and stuff like that. I want to get your perspective and opinion on metals, especially silver.
Well, let's go backwards for just a minute. You're 28 years old, right? You're not married yet?
Not yet.
You're going to get married soon, though?
Within it, yes.
Okay. And you have a job working for a company that has a 401k.
Yes.
Okay. Now the 401k is matched 4% of whatever you put in. They match, right?
Yes.
Which is an absolute 1,000% yes. That is the smartest thing you can do, because you just got 100% return on 4% of your money the day you put it in. Now, normally, what they do with the 401k, they might say, well, you can't take this money out until a certain point. There are certain rules that are designed to make sure that money stays in the account so that you don't pay a big penalty or lose some of the matching benefit, which all of that's fine as long as you understand what you're doing is good. Okay?
Understood.
So now stay with the 401k for a minute. Inside of the 401k, who it has it through, they have different investments that are available. And there might be 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 different places you can put money.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me on that?
Yeah, of course.
So you've seen your statements when they give you the different options where you can invest the money?
Well, I had a previous employee that I had a 401 with. I haven't actually started this 401. I've only been with them for a year, and it's a different franchise owner now. So with this company, it's just what they have done. So I haven't actually
Let's go back to your existing 401k with your prior employer, right? You're no longer with them?
No, and there's no. I've already taken that. You know, it was less than $500. I was only there for less than 3 years. So the best.
So you rolled that into an IRA. Is that my saying?
No, I didn't roll it into anything. I just took a check.
You took it and spent it and paid the penalty and the tax, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right. This is not abnormal. Now, here comes. Some people might say this is heresy. You ready? Literally, when I think you're 28 years old and you're going to get married, I'm assuming. You're going to have children. Is that fair?
I have a 3.5-year-old. She has 2 already.
All righty. Now, do you own a house?
Not yet.
Okay. And now, is your plan to buy a house?
I would say within, 5 years. I'm not trying. I know this is probably a pretty good time to buy.
Well, I'm not really overly concerned about when you do it, but I look at the cart and the horse. And sometimes people put the cart and the horse in the wrong order. What you were just saying about you had a 401k that because of circumstances you cashed it in and you had to pay a penalty plus taxes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Any type of retirement plan when you start investing in, you're going to have, in case you decide to cash it in, and one of the reasons you might decide to cash it in is you and your new bride say, hey, let's buy a house. And you say, well, I've got $10,000, $5,000, $15,000, pick a number, invested in this 401k or any kind of retirement plan. And if we cash that in, that'll give us the money for the down payment. But in the meantime, we are now going to pay a 10% penalty plus the tax on it. And if that money had not been in any of those vehicles, you wouldn't pay a penalty. So what I'm trying to say is I'm not looking for you at this point to start saving money for retirement. You're going to get married. You've got numerous children. You have responsibilities for the kids, and you want to buy a house. I think your priority should be, okay, wife-to-be, how are we going to buy this house, and how do we qualify, and how much can we afford, et cetera, et cetera. You with me?
Yeah. So what you're saying is instead of investing for retirement, I should use the collateral on a house as my future instead of concentrating on.
No, I didn't say that at all. What you should do is say this. I don't want to be a renter. I want to be an owner.
Amen.
Okay. Now, so then here's a long-term goal and a short-term goal. My short-term goal is to get married and to buy a house. After you do those two things, the next goal should be, okay, we now have 5 children. Let's make a decision between the two of us, or 4 kids, whatever you said. Are we going to help put these kids through college? Now, we have a situation called a Roth, R-O-T-H, I-R-A. The Roth IRA is you put money aside, you pay tax on it, but when you take it out, there is no tax. So let's say you put in $10,000 and now it's $100,000, X number of years went by, and the kids don't go to college, they all drop out, and you and the wife can spend that money on retirement, do whatever you want. But you don't take this money out prior to age 59 and a half. All you have
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sorry to
interrupt. The only problem with that Roth, if anything, the only problem with that, we don't know what the tax brackets are going to be in 40 years.
There is no tax bracket on a Roth. The Roth, 100% of it is not subject to tax. No tax.
But I'm paying tax. Am I paying taxes on it now for the next 30 years?
So what happens? You only pay tax on the money you put into it. So let's say you put $5,000 a year into that. You realize in 18 years, if you put $6,000 a year aside, you'd have $250,000 tax-free. And so you pay tax on the $6,000. If you're in a 20% bracket, that's $1,200 in a year. It's insignificant. compared to being able to take out 100% tax-free when you're at age 59 and a half. And if how old are you now?
I'm 29.
Okay, so let's say you're 30, and when you're 48, you have kids that are 18 years old going to school. The key thing, I guess, that I look at you is the cart and the horse, and it might be a wise thing for us to do is not talk on the radio, is to try to put a plan together that covers all the bases for the two of you and these children in a long period of time. You with me?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There's no easy answers.
My biggest thing was I wanted to get a perspective. I'm not looking for like a correct answer, but I want to get your perspective. I've done a lot of research with money and currency, and I've always gone back to metals, especially silver and gold, only because they have a beyond 2008, and I've studied research and stuff. The next bubble, I believe personally, will be the financial aid spectrum, when a lot of my kids, my own generation, aren't going to be able to pay back these gigantic financial aid. So I don't, the pieces of paper and the money, they have value on them now, but there's no real worth to it.
I'm not against you investing in gold or silver, but understand you're looking at a long-term prospect to say, if it costs $1,200 an ounce now, what's it going to be in 5 or 10 years? Well, odds are real good it'll be worth more.
Of course, yeah. And I mean, you can still buy grams at $49, I think, for gold. But, silver is in everything now. So I wanted to get your perspective on that. I understand the paper, fiat money. But
right,
also
right,
the 401k.
Right.
All these are pieces of paper. You know what I mean? Even a mortgage are pieces of paper. So, my research, I really want to, with metal, you just have the metal, but you also have the value that you can't be duplicated.
Well, let's do this. I've got you. When you called in, you gave Connie your name and number, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. What I'll do is after this show or tomorrow, I'll give you a call and you and I'll talk on the phone and we'll try to beat this thing up a little bit and see if we can accomplish what you're looking to do.
Yeah, it sounds good. And I mean, like you said, you want to take advantage of the situation, and it seems like, the situation I have now with,
I understand.
Being invested 5 years, it would be 100% of my invested, which would be
4%. Joe, we're out of time.
That's very rare.
Here's what's happening. Pastor Tom wants to get rid of you because we're out of time. So
no problem.
What I'll do is I'll give you a call back. If not today, I'll call you tomorrow, and we'll beat it up, and we'll figure out what we can do in the best interest. All right?
Thank you. God bless, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Same to you.
Today's Team Martech program was pre-recorded. If you have any questions about today's program, you can contact Joe Martech at 772-229-0114. That's 772-229-0114.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-229-0114.
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and my Redeemer is faithful and true.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City.